So, you have a superhero movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do.
Superhero movies are so much fun.
Oh yeah, super fun. So this one starts in a Nazi concentration camp in World War II.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and that's when we're gonna be introduced to the movie's villain Magneto when he was a kid.
What's Magneto's deal?
He controls metal and he's super powerful.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, he's so powerful that he has a Newton's cradle in his office, but it's just metal balls that he's controlling with his mind.
Why? What do you mean, why?
Like, why is he doing that? Who's he doing that for?
I guess for whoever walks into his office. You know, they'll be like, oh, look at those things go. I shouldn't mess with this guy.
Seems extremely unnecessary for him to do that, but I imagine it's gonna look cool.
Oh yeah, if I'm being honest, that's the only reason that's gonna be in here.
That's the only reason that really matters. So yeah, Magneto's whole thing is that he thinks that mutants are far superior to humans.
So tell me a little more about mutants. Like, what's their deal?
Oh, well, basically mutants start developing their superpowers around puberty.
Oh wow, then I think I might actually be a mutant.
No idea what you're talking about.
When I hit puberty, I develop the superpower to speak in a lower voice. Forever.
That's not a superpower you developed around puberty. That is puberty.
I'm a hero.
Well, okay, sir. So anyway, we're gonna meet this young mutant named Rogue who's just discovering her powers.
Oh, what are her powers? She got a deep voice?
Basically, if she touches somebody, she absorbs their essence and powers and whatnot. So if you touch her, you die.
Oh, I think my wife might have something like that.
Are you saying that your wife has mutant abilities?
Well, she must,
because last night I wanted to get a little intimate and she was like, if you touch me, I'll kill you.
I don't think that's a mutant power. I think that's your wife despising you.
Oh yeah, she does hate me. That makes a lot more sense.
So anyway, Rogue is gonna run away to Canada and meet this dude Wolverine.
And what's his deal?
Oh, well, he has crazy healing powers and his skeleton is plated with a super strong metal called adamantium.
Very cool.
Yeah, and he's gonna be in a cage match and every time he throws a punch, you're gonna hear like a metal noise.
We're gonna do that every single time he has a fight?
We're never gonna do it again, ever.
Oh, quickly abandoning things is tight.
So anyway, Rogue is gonna sneak onto the back of his trailer and then they're gonna get ambushed by Magneto's evil henchman, Sabretooth.
How did he find them?
I don't know.
Fair enough.
But then these nice mutants, Storm and Cyclops, are gonna jump in and save the day.
Well, how did those guys find everybody?
Oh, I actually have an answer to that one. See, there's a telepathic dude named Professor X, and he's able to locate mutants using a machine called Cerebro.
So why doesn't Professor X use Cerebro to track down Magneto?
Well, Magneto has a special helmet thing, so Professor X can't track him or read his mind.
Oh, and Magneto made those special helmets for all his henchmen too?
No, he's the only one that gets to wear one.
So Professor X can just track one of the henchmen and find them all?
Well, yeah, but he's not gonna.
Why not?
Because then the movie's problems would be resolved too quickly.
Oh, stretching things out is tight.
We're also gonna have a really cool scene where Professor X mind controls Sabretooth and grabs Magneto by the throat.
So Magneto's definitely gonna get them all helmets after an incident like that, right?
No, like I said, he's the only one that gets to wear one.
Well, okay then. Anyway, I imagine Professor X is gonna rip off Magneto's helmet using the guy that he's mind controlling.
No, he's just gonna grab him by the neck.
But he has a golden opportunity to capture Magneto.
Yeah, but then the movie's problems would be resolved too quickly.
Right, okay, getting real stretchy.
We're also gonna have this mutant Mystique who's like a shapeshifter.
Oh, how can we tell who she's shapeshifting as?
She's gonna flash her eyes yellow whenever she's feeling super evil.
Who does she do that for?
Us.
Gotcha.
So anyway, later Magneto's gonna use a machine to activate mutant powers in the senator that hates mutants.
Oh, interesting.
But the senator's gonna end up getting some water-type power, so he just squeezes through his cell bars.
Wait, Magneto didn't know what kind of powers he was gonna get?
No, or he would've put him in a cell that didn't have bars.
So what would've happened if the senator got crazy powers capable of killing Magneto?
Well, I guess Magneto would have died.
Oh, what a massive gamble.
Yeah, I guess he got really lucky.
Wow.
So then Magneto's gonna want to turn a bunch of senators into mutants, so he brings his machine to the Statue of Liberty, and there's gonna be a big final fight, and Storm's gonna fight against this Toad guy.
Very exciting.
Yeah, and I wanted to make this into a super badass moment to set her up as a cool character for the sequel, so I had to think of an awesome line for her to say.
Was that hard to do?
No, it was super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just had her crack a little joke before killing him.
Oh, kind of like a John McClane in Die Hard kind of thing. So what's the joke?
She's like, do you know what happens to a toad when it's struck by lightning? The same thing that happens to everything else.
And then
she hits him with some lightning.
So wait, when does the joke happen?
That was the joke.
The lightning thing?
Yeah.
That didn't seem like a joke as much as it did just stating facts about lightning.
Well, she's a teacher, not a comedian. Cut her some slack.
Oh, okay. I guess that excuses the terrible line.
Let's hope so. So what do you think of the movie?
I like it.
Yeah?
Yeah, it really feels like something we can make a franchise out of, you know? Something that's ours that nobody could ever take away from us. So you have an X-Men sequel script for me?
Yes, sir, I do. And because of the way we ended the first movie, we have a couple of things we need to get out of the way.
Like what?
Well, like Wolverine took off on a motorcycle to look into his past, right?
Right.
So he's immediately gonna be like, well, couldn't find anything and go back to the mansion.
Oh, didn't put much effort into that at all.
And another thing is that Mystique is still taking the form of Senator Kelly.
Wait, she's still Senator Kelly? How long's it been?
A little while, I guess.
So she's been sitting in on meetings, voting on bills, going home to Senator Kelly's family, golfing?
Yeah, Mystique is a full-time public servant now, but sometimes she flashes her eyes yellow to nobody in particular, so she's still evil.
Oh, flashing your eyes yellow when nobody's looking is super evil.
We're also gonna have Storm back in this movie, and now her Kenyan accent is completely gone.
Oh, what happened to her accent?
I guess she spent the months in between movies going to speech therapy or something.
Wow, interesting priorities.
Also, Halle Berry threatened to club me with her Oscar if I didn't take out her character's accent.
She was having a tough time with it in the first movie.
Anyway, so in this movie, we're gonna have this bad guy Stryker attack the X-Mansion with a bunch of dudes.
That's not good.
And Wolverine's the only adult there, and he ends up escaping with Rogue and Bobby and this guy Pyro.
Okay.
So then they go hide out with Bobby's family in Boston.
And what happens there?
Well, Bobby is gonna come out as a mutant to his parents, and they're not gonna be understanding at all. They're gonna be like, have you tried not being a mutant?
Oh, I didn't realize this was a cheap wedding.
What do you mean?
Because that metaphor is thinly veiled.
Oh, solid burn on my writing abilities, sir. That one hurt my feelings.
Fantastic.
Anyway, so then the cops show up because Bobby's little brother is a dirty rat, and they think Wolverine's holding knives.
So they tase him?
No, they immediately shoot him in the goddamn face.
Oh my god, Boston PD doesn't mess around.
Yeah, but he's fine.
Well, thank goodness.
So then the X-Men take off in the X-Jet, but they get chased by some fighter jets.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so Storm makes a whole bunch of tornadoes.
Wouldn't that be incredibly destructive and dangerous for the people down below?
Yeah, I guess she killed a bunch of people, or at least destroyed their homes.
Whoops.
Whoopsie.
So then what happens?
Well, the fighter pilots have to eject from their planes, but one of them manages to fire off two missiles.
Oh, so what does Storm do?
Well, at that point, she decides to stop helping.
What, couldn't she hit them with lightning or something?
Probably, but she's not gonna.
Why not?
Doesn't feel like it.
Huh.
So then Jean takes over, but she messes it up and the X-Jet gets hit.
Wow, Storm picked a horrible time to stop helping.
She sure did, so the X-Jet starts spiraling downwards.
Wow, it's gonna be tough for them to get out of that situation.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just before the jet's about to crash, Magneto stops it with his powers.
He's gonna stop it? From where?
Well, he's like standing in the forest clearing next to where the plane's going down, so he just kinda catches it.
How could he have known the exact flight path of a jet doing evasive maneuvers at 500 miles per hour?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, it is.
And, the answer is, magnets.
Magnets?
Yeah. Magnets.
Well, that works for me.
Oh, thank God.
He is Magneto, after all.
He sure is.
And what else happens in the movie?
Well, Wolverine's whole thing in this movie is about wanting to find out about his past, right?
Okay.
And so he's gonna find out that Stryker was the one who injected him with adamantium.
Wow, and what does Wolverine do with that information?
Absolutely nothing.
Huh.
And then Stryker's gonna use his own son, Jason, to control Professor X and Cerebro and try to kill all the mutants in the world.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, but Magneto's gonna stop him and be like, hey, kill all the humans instead, okay?
So what happens with the humans?
Well, Professor X starts to do his thing, so all the humans in the world kind of freeze up and have these crazy pain seizures.
Wow, so we're actually gonna have Professor X kill a bunch of people? That's dark.
No, he's not gonna kill anyone, they're just gonna kind of freeze up in pain.
But what about the humans that are driving on the freeway or piloting planes or in the middle of surgery? Wouldn't they all die?
Right. Right.
So how do you explain that one?
I'm just gonna go with magnets again, if that's cool.
Fair enough. Magnets are tight.
Anyway, so then a dam is gonna break because Cyclops is the freaking worst, and all the X-Men are gonna have to escape from the water.
Exciting.
But then the plane isn't starting, so Jean has to sacrifice herself.
Wait, what?
Yeah, she gets out of the plane and controls it with her mind because there's some water on the way.
Isn't there a mutant on the plane that freezes stuff?
There's two, actually, because Storm has a whole big scene earlier where she freezes stuff.
And they didn't even try to freeze some of the water, make a protective barrier or something?
They do not. So then, yeah, Jean dies, but also she doesn't because sequels.
Wow.
So what do you think?
It sounds great, man. Just make sure you don't go too deep into Wolverine's origin, though.
Why not?
Well, because that's amazing material for a spinoff.
You want to make an entire movie about Wolverine's origins?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think that's the best way to do this character justice.
So, you have an X-Men 3 script for me.
Yes, sir, I do. And at the beginning of this one, Cyclops is gonna be really sad because Jean Grey died in the last movie.
That's right, she did.
Yeah, so he's gonna go revisit the lake where it happened, and she's gonna pop out of the water like, "What's up? I'm back."
So she was hanging out at the bottom of a lake this whole time, just waiting for somebody to show up?
I guess so.
Oh, underwater patience is tight.
It sure is. So they're gonna reunite and share a little kiss.
Wow, it's gonna be crazy to see how those two characters move forward after all.
And so Cyclops is gonna die.
What?
Yeah, she kisses him and his skin goes blah, 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 and then he dies off screen or something, I don't know.
And that's the end of Cyclops?
Yeah, I wanted to show that I'm a big boy and this is a serious movie, so I figured killing off a main character right at the start is a good way to do that.
I guess it will be cool to see the repercussions of his death and how the X-Men deal with it.
Oh, there won't be any repercussions. He's just dead and nobody cares and I'm a big boy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what's going on with Jean? How come she killed her boyfriend and hid in a lake?
Well, the Dark Phoenix part of her is in control now.
Oh, we're doing the Dark Phoenix storyline. That's a fan favorite from the comics.
That's right, but we're gonna do it a little differently.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, instead of the Phoenix Force and whatever, this is just gonna kinda be her full potential that Professor X suppressed or something.
That sounds like it's gonna be so much worse.
Yeah, I can't really dive into the whole cosmic entity Phoenix Force because there's like a whole other storyline going on.
Oh, there is.
Well, there's gonna be this whole thing where this lab got their hands on this kid that makes people lose their powers, and they used him to develop a mutant cure.
So we're gonna do the hugely important Dark Phoenix storyline, but as kind of a background thing.
Right, so a lot of the time, Jean's just gonna stand around in the background looking real upset.
Huh.
But at a certain point, she's gonna make Professor X explode.
Professor X is gonna explode.
Yeah, I'm a big boy, and this is a serious movie.
I thought the death of Cyclops was to show that you're a big boy, and this is a serious movie.
Well, look, I gotta keep the drama going in this thing, so once in a while, I'm just gonna, you know, completely destroy something we set up in the first two movies.
Well, okay then. So tell me more about this cure storyline.
Well, we're gonna have Magneto gather a bunch of mutants together.
Oh, what kind of mutants?
One's a little porcupine that you shouldn't give hugs to, and the other is a GPS tracking device.
Those don't sound super exciting.
Well, if you want to talk about exciting, Magneto is gonna use GPS Lady to track down Mystique, who's on this prison transport bus.
Oh, that does sound exciting.
Yeah, but then she's gonna get shot with a cure needle and lose her powers.
If the guards had access to the cure, why didn't they already use them on the mutants they captured?
I don't know.
Fair enough. And is Mystique gonna get her powers back eventually?
No, she's done. She's gonna become a snitch and then be out of the movie.
But people really liked Mystique. She was super interesting.
Well, I figure we could get her out of the movie to give some other characters their time in the spotlight.
So we're gonna focus on GPS Tracker and Porcupine?
Yeah, but also a guy that can multiply himself and this guy Juggernaut who runs through walls.
Oh, I already miss Mystique.
She's done.
Yeah, you said that.
So anyway, then Magneto and his crew wanna go destroy the lab on Alcatraz that's making the cure.
Oh, so what do they do?
Well, Magneto is gonna use his Magneto powers to lift the Golden Gate Bridge.
Oh, and he's gonna drop the bridge on the facility? That's really cool.
No, he's gonna move the bridge over a bit and connect Alcatraz to the mainland.
What? Why?
Well, he's like, Charles always wanted to build bridges.
Right, but it feels like the only thing that would do is give his enemies a way to attack him from behind.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happens. So then there's gonna be a whole big battle scene.
Even though Magneto could easily end it at any time. And why doesn't he?
Well, the thing about Magneto is that he'll use his full powers for dramatic transportation, but never for fighting.
Well, then I imagine Dark Phoenix could just kill everybody.
For sure, but she's mostly just gonna dramatically stand behind Magneto.
Why wouldn't she just kill everybody they want to kill, though?
Well, if Phoenix and Magneto use their full powers, then there's no need to have a fun little battle where the lesser mutants use their powers.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so there's gonna be this whole thing where Magneto's crew are trying to kill the little cure boy.
Wow, so Nightcrawler teleports in and saves the boy?
No, he doesn't.
Why not?
Well, because I forgot he existed until you just brought him up, so he's not in the movie.
Fair enough.
So anyway, eventually Wolverine and Beast are gonna stab Magneto with the cure needles, and he's gonna lose his powers.
Oh, wow.
But then Jean Grey's gonna go all Dark Phoenix and start destroying stuff.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, but Wolverine can regenerate, so he starts walking towards her.
Very cool.
Yeah, and his clothes are gonna disintegrate as he walks.
PG-13.
His shirt is gonna disintegrate as he walks, but his pants are fine.
There you go.
And then he's gonna stab her
with the cure needle so she loses her powers too?
No, with his claws so she dies.
What?
Yeah, so now we have three dead main characters, two great villains that lost their powers, one character that I forgot, and also Rogue gets rid of her powers voluntarily.
I have to say, it's gonna be difficult to leave the door open for sequels after all your big boy stuff.
Actually, super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're gonna have a little scene at the end where Magneto's in a public park and he makes a little metal chess piece move.
Shouldn't he be in jail or in hiding? Isn't he like a world-famous terrorist?
You'd think so, but apparently apparently you can destroy the Golden Gate Bridge and face no consequences.
I didn't know that.
So what do you think of the movie?
To be honest, I'm not exactly sure about the way that we're handling this whole Dark Phoenix thing.
I'm pretty sure it's the right way to go.
I don't know, it feels like people might hate it.
Tell you what, if people do hate it, we could just retry the storyline in a decade or so.
So you have an X-Men origin story for me.
Yes, sir, I do. And I was thinking we could just call this one Wolverine.
Actually, I'd like to call it X-Men Origins Wolverine. That way people know that we have a bunch of these in the works.
You don't think we should wait and see how this one does first?
No, it's probably fine. We're gonna make a ton of movies in the X-Men Origins series.
Well, okay then.
So what happens in this one?
Well, it's gonna start off with Wolverine when he was a little Canadian boy.
What do we establish there?
Basically that he has a brother named Victor who also has powers.
Do we really have to show them as kids to do that?
Yeah, it's an origin movie, so you have to have them as kids in there.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that was a requirement.
Uh-huh, so then we're gonna have him and Victor fighting through a bunch of wars in history.
Wow, that actually sounds like an awesome basis for a Wolverine origin movie.
Yeah, Wolverine fighting alongside humans in world conflicts, it's gonna be amazing.
That sounds fantastic.
Definitely. So we're gonna have about 3 minutes of that.
Oh, 3 minutes! Okay, it sounded like you had a good thing going.
Well, they say too much of a good thing can be bad, so I'm gonna keep it to a bare minimum in this movie.
That seems like a bad idea, but the way you said it sounded kinda wise, so I'm on board.
Great!
So what are we gonna move on to from there?
Well, they're gonna be in prison, and this guy Stryker is gonna come along and recruit them onto a team of mutants for secret missions.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, and on their first mission, Victor's gonna climb a building and do nothing, and Wolverine's gonna stand around and do nothing.
They're not gonna do anything on the mission?
Not really.
Hey, can we go back to the war stuff?
No, this is what we're doing now.
Okay, worth a shot.
And one of the mutants is named Wade Wilson, and he's like a wisecracking helicopter.
All right, I guess.
Then the mutants are gonna start killing people, and Wolverine's gonna be like, I don't like this, I'm out.
Leaving was an option?
Apparently. So then we're gonna jump forward to like 6 years later.
Oh, another time jump.
Yeah, because time is a man-made concept, and everything is meaningless, and nothing matters.
That's a good point.
So now Wolverine has a girlfriend, and fans are finally gonna find out how he got the name Wolverine.
How so?
Well, his girlfriend's gonna tell him a story about how the moon is lonely because she had a lover, but he was tricked by a trickster. And now he's forced to roam the earth and... Sir?
What's up?
Was the story too boring?
No, it's probably fine. I don't know what happened there.
Okay, well, long story short, there's a spirit named Wolverine that howls at the moon.
Why would a Wolverine howl at the moon?
Isn't a Wolverine like a wolf or something?
No, it's a completely different animal, not even a canine.
Oh, well, that's embarrassing. I have this whole big thing about a Wolverine howling at the moon.
Yeah, that's not something they do.
Should I change it?
Nah, it's probably fine.
Okay, good. That would have been hard work.
Working sucks.
Oh, yeah.
So what else happens in the movie?
Well, then his girlfriend's gonna get killed by his brother.
Oh. It feels like I should care, but I don't. Did I miss her character development?
No, you didn't. She didn't have any.
That's why.
So then Wolverine's gonna wanna kill his brother.
Yeah, I guess he would.
And Stryker shows up like, hey, I could do some weird tests on you and make you indestructible if you want.
Wasn't he already indestructible since he's lived for hundreds of years and he's been shot a bunch of times?
Yeah, but now he's gonna have metal in him.
Oh, I guess that's different.
So Stryker's gonna pump Wolverine full of adamantium and then tell his men to wipe his memory.
Why didn't he wipe his memory before the procedure?
I don't know.
Fair enough.
So then Wolverine's gonna run around naked and be taken in by an old couple.
Nice of them to take in a muscular naked dude.
Oh yeah, and we're gonna have a scene where Wolverine uses their bathroom and checks out his new metal claws.
Oh, sweet. That'll let me practice my editing skills.
Your editing skills?
Yeah, I always wanted to try that CGI stuff. Maybe I'll make his claws myself.
Shouldn't you hire somebody that has experience with that stuff?
Nah, I could probably handle it. Plus, I have 25 days left on my Adobe After Effects trial, so I gotta use that for something.
Yeah, I guess so.
So then what happens?
Well, then we're gonna answer the big question fans have been wondering about since the first X-Men movie.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. Where did Wolverine get that leather jacket?
Oh, I didn't realize people were wondering about that.
Well, as it turns out, an old guy gave it to him and then died.
Well, good to know, I guess.
And we're also gonna have Wolverine walk away from an explosion in slow-mo and not even look back at it.
Hasn't that been done before?
I don't think so.
Okay, just checking.
So anyway, then we're also gonna have a scene where the whole movie turns into a silly cartoon.
Oh, that's fun. Cartoons are fun.
And then Wolverine's gonna go to kill Stryker, but we're gonna find out that his girlfriend wasn't actually dead.
Ooh, plot twist.
Right?
Why did they fake her death?
Because.
That works.
We're also gonna find out that she can manipulate people just by touching them and make them do whatever she wants.
Oh, wow.
And Stryker made her get into a relationship with Wolverine to make him do whatever he wants.
Why didn't she just touch Wolverine and make him do what Stryker wanted? Why did she have to get in a relationship?
I don't know, but also Stryker is forcing her to work for him because he's keeping her sister captive.
So why doesn't she touch him and make him let her go?
She doesn't think of that, I guess.
Huh.
And then Wolverine's gonna free a whole prison full of cameos.
Ooh, cameos are tight.
Yeah, but then Stryker unleashes a modified version of wisecracking helicopter guy, and now he's named Deadpool.
How was he modified?
Well, he has super long blades that come out of his arms.
How does he bend his arms when they're retracted?
I guess he doesn't.
Huh.
And he also teleports, and he shoots lasers from his eyes, and his mouth is gonna be fused shut.
Wow, there is a lot going on there.
Uh-huh, so then Wolverine's gonna climb a cooling tower.
Why would he do that?
Because that's where I want the final fight to take place.
Right, but why would he go there?
For the final fight.
Yeah, but why would the character go there?
Because that's where the fight's gonna be.
Well, okay then.
So then he and his brother are gonna fight Deadpool for a bit and then cut his head off.
Wow.
And all the cameos are gonna be saved by a creepy sex doll that kinda looks like Patrick Stewart.
Wow.
So yeah, that's about it.
Wait, so in the previous X-Men movies, we have Wolverine not knowing about his own backstory.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, we're creating a big plot hole here. It's gonna be hard to explain the memory loss.
Actually, super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
How so?
I'll just have Stryker shoot him in the head with some memory erasing bullets.
But wouldn't all the mutants he saved remember him?
Yeah, I wouldn't overthink things. I certainly didn't.
Fair enough.
So what do you think?
Well, that Deadpool guy sounds like a whole lot of crazy. Are you sure that's the best way to handle that character?
100%. People are gonna love what we did with Deadpool.
So you have a Wolverine movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. So we're gonna meet Wolverine back when he was a prisoner of war in Nagasaki in 1945.
Okay, I can see where this is going, and it sounds a little insensitive.
I don't know the meaning of the word.
It means not sensitive.
Oh, right, that makes sense, and that is a good way to describe it, I guess.
So what happens to Logan?
Well, he saves this guy Yoshida from the atomic bomb using a metal door and his body.
Wow, Wolverine must look messed up after that.
Yeah, he's gonna look like a sun-dried tomato's been doing CrossFit and is seeing some pretty good results.
Oh, a super fit tomato.
Anyway, then he's gonna wake up in bed with Jean Grey.
Oh, so they're together now? Isn't she dead?
She is. So then Wolverine wakes up again.
Oh, a dream within a dream. You got me.
Yeah, you idiot. You thought he was done dreaming, but he's not.
My concept of reality's been shattered, and I don't know how to feel anymore.
Great. So Jean is gonna be like this sexy, ghost-like character that's haunting Wolverine for the whole movie.
Oh, attractive ghosts are tight.
Yeah, and so then this girl Yukio shows up and wants to talk to him.
And what's her deal? Does she have powers?
Yeah, she's able to sometimes dream how people are gonna die, but in very ambiguous ways that leave it open to interpretation.
Okay.
I made foreshadowing into a character.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Anyway, so she tells Wolverine that he's gotta come with her to Japan because that guy from Nagasaki is dying and he wants to say thanks.
Oh, but I guess Wolverine doesn't remember him, huh?
No, he remembers.
What about all that stuff we keep doing about him having memory loss?
Oh, you mean that thing where we keep driving home the fact that he doesn't remember his past?
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot that was a thing, so it's not anymore.
Oh, okay, remembering stuff is hard.
Yeah, I hate doing that. So anyway, then he goes to Japan.
Okay.
And Yoshida is like, good news, we can transfer your powers to me, so I'll be immortal and you'll be mortal and you'll die eventually.
Oh yeah, I guess at this point in Wolverine's life, that would be a nice relief.
Yeah, but Wolverine's like, no, 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 when he goes to sleep.
Oh, okay.
And then he wakes up and there's this mutant with her tongue in his mouth.
Oh my god, who is she?
Well, she dresses in green and she walks around all seductively and there's poison in her mouth.
I thought Poison Ivy was a DC character.
She is. This is Viper.
Oh.
Yeah, she's practically not Poison Ivy.
Well, okay then.
Anyway, so then Wolverine finds out that Yoshida is dead.
Yoshida dies after going on a whole thing about immortality.
Yep, he's dead.
No, he's not.
Uh-huh, yeah, you know, he didn't make it and he died and so now he's a dead person.
No, he's not a dead person, he's an alive person.
Okay, he's not dead, but maybe if we pretend like it's not super obvious, a couple of people will be surprised.
I don't think anyone's gonna fall for that, but okay.
So anyway, then some bad guys are trying to kill Yoshida's granddaughter, Mariko. So Wolverine has to protect her.
Why does he have to do that?
Because.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and they're gonna take a bullet train together, and Wolverine's gonna have to fight some guys on top of it.
Oh, what's that gonna be like?
It's gonna be like I failed physics class.
That's probably gonna make it better, to be honest.
Yeah, probably. Also, Wolverine's gonna get shot a bunch of times.
Oh, well, that's not really a problem for him.
Well, we're gonna find out that that Viper lady messed with his powers, so now he takes damage.
Oh, man, it's gonna be hard for him to get through the movie if he can get hurt.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it mostly just means that sometimes he's gonna wince in pain.
Oh, that is a very minor inconvenience.
So anyway, Wolverine and Mariko head to just outside Nagasaki to hide out.
Okay.
And they talk for a little bit, but then it starts to rain and their clothes get all wet.
Oh, so they make love.
What? No, they don't.
Yep, they do. I'm sorry. It's movie law.
What do you mean?
If two characters get caught in the rain, that scene needs to be immediately followed by a kiss or a love scene.
Well, what happens if I just have them dry off and get changed?
You'll be executed.
Oh my god. Well, I guess they make love then, despite there being no real chemistry there.
Oh, very romantic and very law-abiding. fighting.
And then she's gonna get kidnapped.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so Wolverine has to go save her and fight a bunch of ninjas and bad guys.
Wow.
And that Viper lady's gonna get shot in the heart with an arrow.
Oh, so she dies?
No, she takes the arrow out and sheds her skin, so she's fine.
What?
Yeah, it's just like a viper, you know? You stab them in the heart and then they shed their skin and they're totally fine.
I don't think that's a thing. Where did you hear that?
A crazy guy shouted it at me on the subway.
Oh, okay, as long as there's a source.
Anyway, so then she dies for real like a minute later.
Oh.
And there's gonna be somebody inside this big silver samurai armor and Wolverine's gonna have to fight them.
Very exciting.
And it turns out that Yoshida is alive and he's inside the armor.
Yeah, I know.
Ah, damn it.
Yeah, sorry.
Anyway, he tries to steal Wolverine's healing powers.
So Yoshida's plan was to lure Wolverine over to this place so he can weaken him and steal his powers?
Yeah, pretty evil, right?
But didn't they already have him, like at the beginning of the movie?
What do you mean?
Why'd they go through all that extra trouble of faking a death and luring him to a new place when they had him? He was sleeping, he was poisoned.
Well, if they did all that then the movie would have been over in like 10 minutes.
Oh, that's too short for a movie.
Yeah, so we gotta go with this, you know, unnecessarily complicated plan.
Can't have a 10-minute movie.
Anyway, so then he throws Yoshida off a cliff.
Well, great.
And so that's about it.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Well, thank you very much, and I think it'd be really great if we make this thing R-rated.
Oh, no way.
Oh, why not?
Well, I mean, if you have an R-rated superhero movie, you alienate the younger audience.
Oh, so it wouldn't make any money?
Exactly. There's just no way that could be successful. I'm sorry.
So, you have an X-Men movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. And this one's gonna take place in the past.
Oh, so is this like a prequel or a reboot?
Yes.
Well, okay then.
So we're gonna start off in a Nazi concentration camp, and this bad guy, Shaw, is gonna kill Magneto's mom.
Well, that's not very nice of him.
It's not. So then Magneto's powers get unleashed, and he just destroys everything. He kills guards, he shoots metal everywhere.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah, so this guy, Shaw, is like, oh, okay, good to know. Your powers are unlocked by pain and anger. Wait, Magneto didn't do anything to the guy that actually killed his mom?
Nothing at all,
because we still need him for the rest of the movie.
Oh, okay, so he needs to not get hurt.
And at the same time, we're gonna have baby Mystique break into the X-Mansion and meet baby Professor X.
Why does she break in there?
Because she's scared and hungry, so she wants to look in the fridge. She's a hungry child, so she breaks into a mansion and raids the fridge.
That's what we're going with.
Huh. Then we're gonna jump forward like 20 years and grown-up Magneto's gonna be on the hunt for Shaw because he wants revenge.
Wait, what happened in those 20 years?
Unclear.
How did he escape from Shaw?
I don't know.
Why is he just now on the path to revenge?
Because this is when the story starts.
Well, okay.
So anyway, Magneto tracks down some former Nazis in a bar because they'll know where Shaw is.
Okay.
And then he kills them.
But he gets information from them first?
No, he just kills them.
Well, it's gonna be tough for him to find Shaw if he just killed the guys who know where he is.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, in the bar, he sees a picture of Shaw on a boat in Miami.
Okay.
Yeah, so he knows that Shaw is on a boat in Miami and there's no need to question them at all. But that picture could have been taken at any point in time, and since he's on a boat, he could be anywhere in the world by now.
Well, that's a good point, but it turns out he is still on a boat in Miami, so it all works out.
Oh, and what's going on with him now?
Well, it turns out Shaw can absorb energy and reuse it, and he also has a couple of other bad guys on his crew.
Oh, yeah?
Well, there's Emma Frost, who's a telepath and can turn to diamonds.
There's Nightcrawler, but red, and there's a guy who makes tornadoes sometimes.
Wow, and what's Shaw's plan here?
Well, he wants to trick the USA and Russia into starting a nuclear war so all the humans can die and the mutants can survive. If he has a telepath and a teleporter, can he just get into the specific room he needs to fire the missiles himself?
Probably, but he's gonna go with this complicated plan instead.
How come?
So the X-Men can stop him.
Fair enough.
Anyway, so Professor X is gonna end up going to talk to the government,
and then he's gonna do this cool thing where he just freezes everybody just so he can talk to one person.
Oh, he can freeze everybody. That's gonna be useful moving forward.
Yeah, you'd think so. So then he and Magneto are gonna go on a little recruitment mission and make a team of mutants.
Oh, that's fun.
And we're gonna find out how they all got their nicknames.
How does that happen?
They gave them to each other.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's pretty straightforward.
Anyway, Shaw is gonna end up attacking the base where they're all hanging out.
Why does he do that?
Well, he goes to see them like, hey, you guys wanna join me? And most of them are like, no, so he's like, okay, never mind.
Why doesn't he kill them?
Well, he does kill one of them, but only because he tried to attack him.
Well, who does he kill?
This dude named Darwin, and he has the power to adapt to anything to survive.
So how does Shaw kill him?
With like a ball of energy?
And how come he's not able to adapt to that?
Because.
Fair enough.
There's also this dude, Hank McCoy, that really wants to find a cure to some of the weird physical stuff that comes with being a mutant.
Oh, right, because he's blue and hairy, right?
Not yet, actually. He just has some weird feet, but he wants a way to hide them.
What about, you know, shoes?
Meh.
Oh, ignoring the existence of shoes is tight. What's up with your toes?
You can't see my toes right now.
Sure I can.
Anyway, so Hank ends up making this serum using Mystique's blood. But right before the big final fight, he tries it, and that turns him blue and hairy.
Why would he test something like that right before going to save the world?
He wanted to look good for the big fight, I guess.
Pretty weird priorities.
He didn't want the bad guys to laugh at his feet.
I guess that would hurt his feelings, which could be distracting.
We're also gonna have this thing where Emma Frost is in custody.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and she's gonna show the guards that she can easily escape.
Well, why doesn't she?
I don't know.
Well, okay.
And then later, Shaw is gonna absorb the energy from a nuclear core.
Oh, I bet he's gonna do something cool with that.
Nope.
Oh, okay, never mind.
And so we're gonna end up in a situation where the X-Men have to deal with the Cuban Missile Crisis or something.
Oh, we are?
Yeah, there's gonna be a ship full of Americans and a ship full of Russians, and the X-Men have to stop them all from starting a war.
Well, good thing Professor X has the ability to freeze large groups of people, as established earlier in the movie.
Yeah, well, he's not gonna do that, though.
Why not?
Well, because by the time I got to writing this scene, I forgot that I established that power, so he's not gonna use it.
Fair enough.
And so then he's gonna get hit by a deflected bullet in the spine, and that's how he loses control of his legs.
They didn't have bulletproof suits or anything?
Actually, we're gonna make a point of having Hank make bulletproof suits. And Professor X is the one that points out that they're bulletproof.
I guess Hank is just really bad at making stuff.
I guess so. So then as Professor X is lying there paralyzed, Magneto's gonna be like, all right, who wants to join my team? Let's go.
Not really the time for that.
Not really, but they're gonna split up and Red Nightcrawler is gonna teleport them away.
So how do the other mutants leave?
Unclear, sir.
Aren't the American and Russian forces still right there?
They are.
Huh. So what do you think?
Well, honestly, I think it might be a little risky to go back in time like this. We might make some mistakes that mess up the timeline.
Don't worry about that, sir. I got it under control.
All right, if you're sure.
100%. So, you have an X-Men movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. So in this one, we're gonna have some X-Men from the original trilogy and from First Class.
Oh, how are we gonna do that? Please don't say time travel.
With time travel!
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so the movie starts in the future with some of the X-Men being killed by these giant sentinel robots.
Okay.
But since Kitty Pryde could send people's consciousness to the past, she basically warns their past selves not to be there.
Wait, I thought Kitty Pryde's thing was that she can run through walls and stuff.
Well, in the comic that this is based on, another mutant sends Kitty Pryde's consciousness back in time, so...
So how come you're giving Kitty Pryde that ability?
So that we can have Ellen Page in the movie, and no other reason.
Well, okay then.
So then the X-Men are gonna decide to send Wolverine's consciousness way back in time, and he has to try to stop this crappy future from being set in motion.
And why him?
Well, we're gonna say that the time travel thing basically shreds your mind, but his can regenerate.
Is that just an excuse he came up with to have Wolverine be the star?
You're damn right.
I respect that.
Yeah, so in the 70s, he still has his bone claws.
Wow.
And he needs to stop Mystique from killing this guy Trask who invented the Sentinels.
Trask?
Yeah, remember that guy from X-Men The Last Stand? He was played by Bill Duke, that actor from Predator.
Oh, yeah. Hey, maybe we could get that Tyrion Lannister guy to play him. He's really popular right now.
You want to recast Bill Duke's character with Peter Dinklage?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, those are just two extremely different humans.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I don't see color or height or age.
Oh, sir, it sounds like you should visit an eye doctor. You might be legally blind.
Oh, that's some solid advice. Thanks so much, large gray shape.
You're welcome.
And so how far back in time do they send Wolverine?
Well, Mystique kills Trask in 1973, so they send Wolverine to right before that happens.
Wouldn't it make more sense to send him a little further back than that?
Yeah, but that wouldn't be as exciting.
So you're manufacturing a ticking clock narrative where there doesn't need to be one?
That's right. Please pay me for this.
Oh, I will.
Anyway, so to find Mystique, Wolverine has to find Professor X and Magneto, but in 1973, they're having all kinds of problems.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, Beast made the serum that lets Professor X walk again, but he loses his powers.
So Professor X is just a dude now?
Exactly, because if he had his powers, he'd be able to solve the movie's problems in like 2 seconds.
So what's he gonna do?
He's gonna tag along on most adventures, even though he can't help in any way.
Well, okay then.
So then they need to get Magneto, but in 1973, he's in a big non-metallic prison under the Pentagon.
Wow, 1973 was really not the ideal time to send Wolverine to.
No, it wasn't. So anyway, Magneto's in jail for killing JFK.
Wait, what?
Yeah, but later we're gonna find out that he was trying to save JFK, because JFK was also a mutant.
mutant.
What? I want to know more about that.
Oh, too bad. Oh,
man.
So anyway, to get Magneto out of jail, Wolverine's like, I know a guy, and they go get Quicksilver.
How does Wolverine know Quicksilver?
Unclear.
Huh.
So then as they're breaking out of the Pentagon, some guards shoot at them.
Oh, no.
But Quicksilver's so fast, he's able to run around the room and knock out all the guards as the bullets are being fired.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's gonna be this incredible scene where he's just listening to music and moving stuff around and nudging the bullets out of the way.
I mean, that's like a godlike power. He could literally go grab Mystique and the movie would be over.
Yeah, definitely. This guy is good.
Well, it's gonna be hard to keep the movie going if Quicksilver can just, you know, end it.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're just gonna have Quicksilver, you know, stop helping.
What do you mean?
He's gonna go home. I don't know what to tell you.
But how can we possibly explain him not helping?
Maybe the rest of the mission's too dangerous for him. He's just a kid.
They literally had him break into the Pentagon.
Listen, if you don't want the movie to be over, you're gonna have to climb on up off of my back.
Okay, I'll climb.
So anyway, we're also gonna have Mystique keep trying to murder Trask by taking on the appearance of people around him.
Right, that makes sense.
But he has this little device that detects when mutants are around, so he keeps catching her.
Wait, we're saying that since the 70s, the government's had the ability to detect mutants?
That's right.
I feel like that's gonna mess up a bunch of the storylines we created.
That's the entire point of this movie.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, we're just gonna introduce the concept of timeline so everything makes sense and nothing makes sense and nothing matters and I don't even care.
Oh, finding excuses for our sloppy work is tight.
So anyway, then President Nixon's gonna unveil these mutant-killing sentinels to the public and there's gonna be a bunch of security.
So they have those mutant detectors set up?
No, just metal detectors.
Oh.
And Magneto's gonna secretly put metal inside the sentinels so he controls them?
Oh, that's smart, because if he makes them malfunction in public, the program's never gonna move forward.
Yeah, and he's also gonna, you know, drop a stadium around the White House.
That ruins everything.
And at the same time, but in the future, the X-Men are being attacked by more robots.
Uh-oh.
So we have this awesome situation where the hero's mind is off trying to complete a task while his body's about to be destroyed by sentinels.
Right, I've seen The Matrix.
Okay, good. So yeah, that scene from The Matrix, but with X-Men.
Great.
Yeah, so all the mutants in the future are fighting sentinels so Kitty Pryde could keep doing her thing with Wolverine.
Wow.
And then back in the 70s, Wolverine's gonna get stuck at the bottom of a river so he can't help anymore.
Oh, so I guess Kitty Pryde can stop sending his consciousness into the past.
What do you mean?
Well, if he's done all he's gonna do, the future is just gonna play out as it's gonna play out, right? He's not affecting the past anymore.
Oh, well, we're only gonna have the future get fixed when Mystique decides not to kill Trask.
But Kitty and Wolverine no longer have anything to do with that.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Well, whatever then.
So yeah, because Mystique showed compassion, everything works out.
What about that whole thing where Magneto lifted a stadium and dropped it around the White House?
Well, humans don't care about that because Mystique showed compassion.
Okay, but there's still all the-
She showed compassion.
All right, I guess that solves everything then.
So then Wolverine's gonna wake up in this future where everything is perfect and Jean never died and nobody ever died and everything's amazing.
Wait, so Wolverine's consciousness was just hijacked by a different version of himself from another timeline?
That's right.
A version of himself that has no memory of the past 50 years as they happened?
Yeah, it's gonna be a pretty nice moment.
That's actually a horrifying moment. A version of Wolverine was basically just mentally murdered by another version of himself.
Yeah, such a sweet moment.
If you say so.
And then we're gonna see that in the past, Wolverine was picked up out of the river by William Stryker.
Oh, that's a clever nod. It's like, that's how his claws are gonna end up covered in adamantium.
Yeah, and then Stryker's eyes are gonna flash yellow, so we're gonna be like, oh, that's Mystique.
What?
Pretty cool twist, right?
But Wolverine has to end up with Stryker eventually, right? Because he still has the bone claws.
Right, but this is Mystique.
But why do that?
I don't know.
Fair enough.
And so, what do you think?
Well, it sounds like a hot mess, but I think if we get the right director on board, it's gonna work out.
Did you have somebody in mind?
Yeah, I was thinking we could bring Bryan Singer back into the franchise.
Oh, he's definitely somebody you want to be associated with. So, you have an X-Men prequel reboot sequel script for me?
Yes, sir, I do. It's gonna be called X-Men Apocalypse.
Oh, it sounds serious. How does it start?
Well, we're gonna meet this godlike mutant Apocalypse in ancient Egypt, right? And he frickin' loves pyramids.
They were all about pyramids back then.
And he's about to use some gold stuff or something to transfer his consciousness into the body of a guy who can heal himself.
Okay.
And then people are gonna attack him and his followers, and the pyramid is gonna crumble and fall into this super deep pit, which is maybe something the pyramids had underneath them.
Wow.
Anyway, so then thousands of years later, Apocalypse is gonna rise again in 1983.
Oh.
Yeah, and he's gonna run into a young Storm and then decapitate some guys with some sand.
Oh my god, that guy is powerful.
Oh yeah, he's basically a god. So then Storm brings him home.
Oh.
Not like that.
Oh.
And he's gotta catch up on what humans have been doing this whole time, so he touches a TV and absorbs all our history.
What kind of ancient power lets him do that? How does that even work?
Unclear, but Storm's gonna be like, what are you doing? And he's gonna be like, learning.
Ding.
Oh, he sounds like me when I try to talk to women.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, usually when I talk to a girl at a bar, she'll be like, what are you doing? And I'll be like, flirting.
And that works for you?
Well, let's just say that no, not once.
Well, okay then. So anyway, after checking out human history for a couple of seconds, instantly Apocalypse is like, you know, this whole place has to go.
I can understand that.
Yeah, can't blame him on that one.
So what does he do after that?
Well, he's gotta get four horsemen together, cause that's like his thing.
If he has godlike powers, why does he need four horsemen?
Cause that's like his thing.
Well, okay then.
So he decides that Storm is gonna be his first follower, so he gives her just the cutest makeover.
Aw, besties.
Yeah, and then they go recruit this lady Psylocke, who has this cool energy blade thing.
Oh, and what's she gonna do in the movie?
She's gonna do a bunch of flippy flips and cut a car in half and look really upset the whole time.
A very angry flippy lady.
And then the third horseman is this guy Angel.
Right, I remember Angel from X-Men The Last Stand. He was just discovering his powers.
Yeah, well, this is a different take on him, because we played with timelines in Days of Future Past.
I don't know that being in a different timeline means you can be born in a different decade.
Oh, definitely get off my back about timeline stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a free pass to do whatever I want, so definitely don't bring it up again.
Gotcha, that's my bad.
Anyway, then they're gonna go recruit Magneto, and he's all bummed out because the family he created between movies is dead.
Ah, bummer. So what do the horsemen do for Apocalypse exactly?
Betray him for the most part.
Oh.
Yeah, and him recruiting them is gonna help us fill up a good chunk of the runtime.
Well, okay then.
So then on the good guy's side of things, we're gonna meet younger versions of characters like Cyclops and Jean Grey.
Oh, who else are we gonna meet?
We're gonna have Nightcrawler. Oh, Jubilee's gonna be there.
Oh, Jubilee, what's she gonna do in the movie?
I just told you.
Oh.
Anyway, so Apocalypse is gonna end up taking over Cerebro and taking control of all the world's nukes.
Oh my god, well if he wants to destroy the world, that's a good way to do it.
For sure, so he launches them into space.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, that's not how he feels like destroying the world.
Up to him, I guess.
So then Havoc uses his chest beam to destroy Cerebro and the whole mansion blows up.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and luckily Quicksilver happens to be walking by, so we're gonna have a really fun slow-mo thing where he saves everybody.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, it's gonna be funny. There's gonna be a dog eating pizza, and Quicksilver's gonna drink some soda.
So fun to watch.
Very fun. And then we're gonna find out that Havoc died.
Oh my god, you really switched the tone on me.
Yeah, and he's Scott's brother too, so.
Jeez, he must be devastated.
He will be a little sad for one scene, yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, so now Apocalypse and his four besties have kidnapped Charles.
Oh, why'd they do that? What's the plan here?
Well, Apocalypse wants to use Charles to tell everybody on Earth that he's about to destroy their stuff, and the people that survive are gonna survive.
Why would he need to tell them that? Why not just do it?
I don't know. Fair enough.
So then the plan is to have Magneto destroy a bunch of cities while Apocalypse transfers his consciousness into Charles.
Wait, what?
Yeah, pretty evil, right? Apocalypse wants to mind control everybody.
Pretty evil, yeah, but he's gonna do those at the same time?
Yeah.
Why not just wait until Magneto's done destroying stuff?
He's impatient, I guess.
And why send that message from earlier if he's just gonna mind control everybody anyway?
This is just how he wants to play things. I don't know what to tell ya.
Okay.
But anyway, back at the mansion, Stryker shows up in a helicopter right after the explosion.
What, like right away? How did he react so quickly?
Unclear, but he goes ahead and captures the main characters.
Why does he do that?
So we can have this big side quest with the sole purpose of forcing a Wolverine cameo into this thing.
Oh, people like Wolverine.
They do, and he's been in the hands of Stryker for a while, so he's in full Weapon X mode. At the end of the last movie, Mystique had him while disguised as Stryker, so how did the real Stryker get him?
Unclear.
Huh. So then we're gonna have a big final fight scene where the X-Men try to stop Apocalypse and Magneto just destroys cities.
Well, it's gonna be hard for the X-Men to take on someone with godlike powers like Apocalypse.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Charles is gonna be like, hey, Jean, unleash your power. And so she does that, and that solves everything.
Oh, that worked out pretty well.
It did. And so at the end, Magneto's gonna help rebuild the mansion, and Charles is gonna be like, well, see you around, old friend.
Wait, didn't Magneto just destroy cities and kill a bunch of people?
He did, but he helped them a little bit at the end, so all is forgiven.
Oh, instantly forgiving mass murderers is tight.
Yeah, it is.
And so I guess by the end of the whole thing, Mystique is kind of leading the X-Men now, huh?
What? Why would she be the leader?
Because Jennifer Lawrence plays her?
Oh, right. Okay, we can make that happen.
Yeah, and we already said she ages slowly, so that works, and we'll just have to figure out the rest of the casting.
What do you mean?
Well, this takes place in the 80s, so, like, Beast would be in his 40s. We'll have to get a new actor to play him.
I figured it could still be Nicholas Holt.
He's, like, in his mid-20s.
Yeah, but we could just pretend like he's in his 40s.
Like, age him with makeup?
Not even. No, just pretend.
Oh.
Yeah, and we could pretend that Rose Byrne is in her 50s. We can get nuts with this.
I don't know, man. This seems a little weird.
Nah, it'll be fine.
Okay, maybe for this one, but we should probably stop this random decade-jumping gimmick we're doing because it's gonna start to get out of hand.
Or, here's a better idea.
I'm listening.
You could just shut up about that.
What? So, you have a Wolverine script for me?
Yes, sir, I do.
Wow, so what happens in the
f***ing movie.
Sir, what's up with the language?
Sorry, it's just that Deadpool was such a big success that I'm all about swearing right now.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I mean, look at this f***ing wad of cash. Can you believe it?
That looks like about $3.
Yeah, and there's more where that came from. My purse is full of cash. So you made this Wolverine thing R-rated too, right?
Did you say you have a purse?
So you made this Wolverine thing R-rated too, right?
Yes, sir, I did. There's gonna be a bunch of F-bombs and graphic violence and two boobs.
Oh, that's the perfect number of boobs. This movie's gonna be a lot of fun.
No, it's gonna be bleak as hell.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, Logan is old and dying, and Professor X is even more old and more dying, and every other character we've ever met is dead.
Oh, getting bleak is tight.
Yeah, you like getting bleak?
Yeah, check this out. Did you ever stop and realize that sometime in the future you'll be thought of for the very last time?
Wow, that is incredibly bleak.
I know, right?
Whew. So anyway, Logan and this mutant Caliban are taking care of Professor X. And his mind is super worn down and he has these telepathic seizures that make everyone freeze up.
Oh no.
Yeah, so he needs medicine and constant care, but Logan has a plan.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, he's working as a limo driver so he can save up and buy a boat.
How would being on a boat help the situation they're in?
Well, they'll be on the water so Professor X's seizures won't affect people.
But they'll affect Logan and Caliban.
Well, Caliban can't really go because he's like super allergic to the sun.
So the plan is to go somewhere where there's gonna be less help, less access to food, less access to medicine, and a huge risk of sinking and drowning every time there's a seizure.
To be honest, I just needed a reason for Logan to accept a risky job for a lot of money, and I was like, boats are expensive, maybe he needs a boat.
Fair enough, boats are expensive. You need like several pursefuls of money to buy one.
Do you carry a purse?
So what's the job he accepts for a bunch of money?
Well, there's this nurse, Gabriella, who worked in a top secret lab, and she needs help getting this little mutant girl, Laura, to safety.
Okay.
So she tells Logan that she'll give him $20,000 if he drives them to North Dakota so they can cross the Canadian border and be safe from the guys chasing them.
Why would crossing into Canada stop the guys from chasing them?
Because nothing bad ever happens in Canada.
Oh!
Yeah, if I understand correctly, Canada basically has a force field around it and nothing bad can get in.
I did not know that.
It's just basic geography.
Well, okay then. So tell me more about the bad guys.
Well, they're called the Reavers and they're led by this guy, Donald Pierce.
Oh, what's his deal?
Well, he rolls into every conflict super cocky-like, even though at the end of every conflict, he loses like 60 men.
Unbreakable confidence, I respect that.
So anyway, the Reavers end up killing Gabriella.
How did they find her?
She was carrying around the same phone she used while working at the lab, so it was probably pretty easy.
What?
Well, she had a video on there that she wanted Logan to see, so she kinda had no choice.
What was the video?
It was this video that she masterfully edited together showing the experiments they do on kids at the lab. I mean, this thing has voiceover narration and security camera footage. People are gonna be like, wait, is she a nurse or a documentarian?
Wow, what a talented lady.
Anyway, so then Laura's gonna sneak into Logan's car and go to Mexico where he's keeping Professor X.
Okay.
And then the Reavers are gonna come knocking and she's gonna massacre a bunch of them because she has the same powers as Wolverine.
Wait, if she massacres a bunch of them, why wasn't she able to protect Gabriella?
I don't know. Literally every time she encounters Reavers from this point on, she absolutely destroys them.
Must have been off her game.
Guess so.
So then what happens?
Well, then Logan is stuck in this position where he has to take care of a child and an old man.
Right.
So we've got this really unique arc for him where he's like a reluctant hero.
Actually, I feel like that's been his exact story arc in every single movie.
Yeah, but now he drops F-bombs, so it's different.
True.
We're also gonna throw in the scene that Wolverine fans have been waiting for years.
Oh, you talking about Berserker Rage?
Well, yeah, no, we're gonna have that later in the movie. What I'm talking about is a scene where he helps Professor X pee.
What?
Yeah, that's the kind of stuff fans have been dying to see.
I feel like we have different understandings of the fan base.
If you're not excited to see that, I guess we do.
Huh.
So anyway, Professor X is gonna have a massive seizure in a hotel just as the Reavers are arriving.
Oh boy.
And we're gonna have this really cool scene where Logan struggles around and he stabs them all in the head, and when the seizure stops, they're all gonna collapse at the same time.
If the seizures are telepathic, wouldn't people just collapse as soon as they get stabbed in the brain?
Oh yeah, I guess so, because it's not like he's freezing time or anything.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's gonna look really cool if they all fall at the same time though.
So cool that people aren't gonna question it?
Oh yeah, I'd say so.
Well then let's do it.
Awesome.
So what else happens?
Well, later they're gonna meet a really nice family and go to their place for dinner.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, and Logan's gonna be like, well, we gotta go because there are murderers chasing us.
Right.
But Professor X is gonna be like, let's stay the night, Logan. What's the harm in that?
Everybody will probably die.
Right, so everybody's gonna die, including Professor X.
Obviously.
So then Laura is gonna suddenly reveal that she can speak.
Why wasn't she speaking in the first place?
I don't know. We're not gonna explain it.
Fair enough.
And now Logan's like really sick and tired and it seems like he's gonna die.
Oh no.
So they go all the way to North Dakota where there's gonna be a showdown with the Reavers and a clone of Wolverine.
It's gonna be impossible for Logan to take them all on if if he's dying.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, luckily the kids have like a magic potion lying around that activates his berserker rage.
That is very convenient.
So yeah, then he's gonna go crazy and kill everybody, and his evil clone's gonna impale him on a tree.
Oh my god.
But then Laura's gonna shoot the clone in the head with an adamantium bullet.
Oh, so the clone is gonna have his memory erased?
What? No, he's gonna die.
Oh, it's just that in X-Men Origins, he got shot in the head with an adamantium bullet and just kind of forgot stuff. F***
that movie.
Hey, you said a bad word. I knew you were the right person for this movie.
Wow, hearing you say that is the highest honor I could ever hope for.
Doesn't get any better than that, I know.